Okay, so we are going to be doing the Haftarah of Ekev, as we mentioned last week when we did Nachamu, that the Haftarahs, especially these Haftarahs, these Shav de Nechamsa, the seven Haftarahs of Nechama that we read after Tisha B'Av for 7 weeks leading up until the Yom Nirayim, so it's the parts of Navi that Chazal wanted us to read at this time. That's a big thing. That's an important thing. The Gemara discusses that the Nevi'im, right? How many Nevi'im are there? Like in our Masorah, we have how many Nevi'im? You ever heard of this?
Maybe 100.
There are 48 Nevi'im. You ever heard of that? 48 Nevi'im, 7 Nevi'os. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about, 48 Nevi'im? There were, right, just in the story of Avadia, there are 100 Nevi'im, 101 Nevi'im. There are way more than that. The Gemara itself says, you know, in fact, there were double the number of people left Mitzrayim, right? How many people left Mitzrayim? Men.
How many?
15. Men left Mitzrayim?
No.
How many?
About 100.
How many men between 100. Age of 20 and 60 left Mitzrayim? 600,000. The Gemara says double that, meaning 1.2 million Nevi'im were in existence. So there's a lot of Nevi'im. So why are these Nevi'im? We have 48 Nevi'im. There are over a million Nevi'im. So the Gemara explains, no, these are the ones that are kovel ledoros. Their message is eternal, and we have to learn it, and it's relevant really always, as long as we're in this situation of galus. And especially when Chazal choose out seven, and really ten, because there are also three, the Tlas de Pranusa, the three Haftaros that precede Tisha B'Av, the three-week Haftaros, also. Those are like 10 Haftaros in a row where Chazal say, at this point of the year, we want you to read this. This is important for you to read. So it's really important that we take a look at it, learn it, and try to delve into what the message is and what we're supposed to take out of it from our time. In the past, this has been a like 20-minute every morning shir, like a pre-chakra shir. So, and we're only doing like in one shot, so we're going to do some of the highlights. We're not going to go through the text carefully and analyze it, but a little bit to look at what's going on in the text, to understand basically what Yeshayahu is trying to tell us. All of these Haftaros are from Yeshayahu. And then some hopefully interesting ideas that we can really take with us and grow from. So it starts off, this is actually a very long one. Get ready, brace yourself. Not the shir, don't worry. The Haftarah itself on Shabbos is a little bit of a longer one. It goes, it's the middle of Perek Mem Tes, and then Perek Nun, and then the beginning of Nun Aleph in Yeshayahu. And there are a few different themes that are said here. And they're all going to be the same point that we mentioned last week, for those of you who weren't here last week, which was like, in fact, almost everybody who was here last week was part of first session and bounced. So bounced to the motherland. So we are mostly starting fresh, but for those who weren't here, we spoke about last week in Shabbos Nachamu. If you're not going to be here by twice, that for those who missed it that time and this time, we spoke about the concept of Nechama. And what does Nechama mean? What changed? Nothing changed. Why all of a sudden Tisha B'Av is over, but if it's a failed Tisha B'Av and there's no Bais HaMikdash, then why are you celebrating? Why are you having a big party? Why are you having a candy tish? What's that about? And we explained that Nechama is about a shift in perspective. It's instead of saying, we don't have a Bais HaMikdash, let's be miserable, let's minimize our meat and wine intake, and let's sit on the floor and mourn, and only do swimming if it's recreational, and only a cappella. And instead of doing that, let's try to shift our focus and say, hey, instead of embracing mournfully the rejection, let's try to turn things around and realize that we're the ones who have the power to do something. And that's what the whole entire Haftarah of Nachamu is about. It's about Hashem saying, the ball's in your court, Yeshayahu saying. That Hashem is saying, comfort my nation, let them know that they can turn things around. I didn't change, I'm the same constantly. I am stability, says Hashem. You guys can change. And all of these seven Haftaros are called the Nechamsa. All of them are called Haftaros of consolation, but also this perspective shift of what we can do to turn things around. So it starts off, Vatomer Tzion Azavani Hashem Vadonai Shechechani. So Sion says, Hashem has forsaken me, my master has forgotten me. Jewish people say, God has forgotten us. Where was God in the fill in the blank? Right? We've had many of these in history. Where was God in the Where was God in the
Holocaust?
Where was God in Corbin Bias Rishon, in Corbin Bias Sheni, the Inquisition? Where was God in this? So this was Azavani Hashem. Hashem has forsaken me. Va'adonai Sheikhani. My master has forgotten me. So then Hashem speaks to Yisrael and says, Hasishkach Isha Ula Merachim Ben Bitna. Can a mother really forget her child? Does that happen? Does a mother forget? Any psychologically healthy mother, can she forget her child? He says, you know, maybe a woman can forget her child. I can't. As much as you think that a woman, as hard as you think it is for a woman to forget her child, it's even more hard, in fact, impossible, says God, for me to forget you. I didn't forget you. Therefore what? So what's the situation? If God did not forsake, he did not forget us in the Holocaust, in the Korban Bias. Yeshayahu is talking about the Korban Bias Rishon before it happened. Okay? But we're still living from the impact of Korban Bias Sheni. We never built the third one yet. But so what does that mean? If Hashem says, no, I didn't forget you, then what?
Well, yeah, there are two statements in the first pasuk. It says, Hashem has left me, and then it says, and my master has forgotten me. Which is just interesting that they're not necessarily the same thing. Saying Hashem has left me doesn't mean that Hashem has forgotten me, but it's like an observation. Hashem has left me, and my master has forgotten me. Hashem says, I haven't forgotten. You were right. I did leave you.
Oh, you're saying, maybe you did forsake.
I did forsake, or so to, you know, as it were, but I did not. In fact, it seems to be two separate. Vad and Hashem.
Could be that the pshat. But ultimately, Hashem is going to say it's not really about that. It says, "Hey, al kapayim chakosich, chomasayich negdi tamid." Nope, they're engraved on my palms, and your walls are before me always. Meaning, I am constantly thinking about you, says Hashem. I know you're not always thinking about me, but I'm thinking about you. Sometimes like this out with like celebrities, right? You know, you're thinking about Mason Black all day. He's amazing. And you think about him constantly, and you say, it's me. I think about you all the time. And he's like, oh, okay, because it's only like a one-way relationship. So often that's how it is with Hashem. Often that's how it is with Hashem. That we know, once in a while, okay, I'm out of the bathroom, I say Asher Yatzar, maybe, I had Kavana with Asher Yatzar, maybe, I thought about God for 10 seconds. I had a snack before, I made a bracha, maybe, I made the bracha with Kavana, maybe, and I thought about God for 10 seconds in that day. Oh, good. And throughout your day, you have these, hopefully, right? You look at your tzitzis, you kiss the mezuzah, you sing about God in the morning, and you have reminders of God. Maybe. Halavai, right? Halavai, we should be able to do that. During Shemona Esrei, hopefully we thought about Hashem a little bit in Shemona Esrei. Okay, Hashem thinks about us all day. He says, they're engraved on my palms, right there. The walls are before me. The wall that is in front of me, that I'm surrounded by, says God, so to speak. You're written on it. It's not the person who's thinking about a celebrity, and the celebrity doesn't... It's close to that. It's like... Kaviyachol, Hashem is the fan, and we're the celebrity, and you know this. We don't know anything. He's thinking about us constantly, and we don't think about him. We don't know him. We just met him, and there's like this relationship is only halfway. He's put his half in, and the other half is missing. You know, that's why I think one of the pshatim in Amachs is a shekel. Right, there's different, you know, humility, you have to get put together with another Jew to make a full shekel, heard about like that. But I think also a big part of it is that Hashem's half shekel is in waiting. You know, the wonder twin rings, and there's two of them together, or the two lockets, you know? You're not holding wonder twins? Okay, how about a locket that's broken into two pieces? Okay. Yeah, You get the muscle, right? You have these two pieces, and one of them is waiting there the whole time. Tech, right? It's a plug, but no outlet. The outlet is no plug.
Best, and the other one says friends.
Right. Best and friends. Okay, yeah. So Hashem's half shekel is there, and he's waiting for someone to put the second half in. But his is there, and that's why you do a master shekel. You don't even do a full shekel. There's a half waiting already. So this is what Hashem says. Hashem says, I don't forget you. You thought I forgot you. I don't forget you. Really, it's that you've forgotten me. And this is a constant, you know, point that we're going to mention, and it's this, you know, double-edged sword that feels different before Tisha B'Av and after Tisha B'Av. But before Tisha B'Av and on Tisha B'Av, this is supposed to make you feel guilty. You should feel bad. Hashem says, I love you so much and you don't care about me. You barely think about me throughout your day and I think about you constantly. You should feel bad about that. You should feel guilty during the 3 weeks, more during the 9 days, a lot on Tisha B'Av. And then after Tisha B'Av, when we work on the Nechama, should we turn it around? So someone who wasn't in the share last week. So what the same reality, how do we shift that? How do we turn that into not feeling guilty but productive? This reality that Hashem thinks about me constantly and I don't think about him nearly as much as he thinks about me. So we hear the guilt, why that makes me feel guilty, right? That we hear? Right? Mom thinks about me all the time and I never call home. I should feel guilty. Remind me. Right? I should feel guilty. Oh, hopefully she's listening to share. Sorry, Mom. Okay. There's the guilt. How do we turn it around and make it productive? What's the post-Tisha B'Av, post-Shabbos Nachamu way to understand this? What do you think? Right, it's empowering, right? Because this means that I have the power to do something about it. It's not that I'm helpless and there's an all-powerful God trying to make me miserable. There's a God who's my Father, who's my Creator, who's trying to connect, and He's waiting. And everything that's wrong in my life, personally, and in our lives nationally, everything that's wrong with it is because of a lack of God. And the lack of God is there because of our own awareness and action. And not from His end. That's really empowering. I could do something about this. That can turn it around. And that's what all this Nechama is about. The Nechama is about just realizing how much Hashem loves us and cares about us and in the least fluffy way possible. This is not supposed to be a fluffy, feel-good thing. This is supposed to be a very, very real, down-to-earth point that Hashem loves us very much and He's waiting for us to reach out and to connect and to build this and to live this Nechama and turn things around. That's what Hashem is waiting for. Sounds fluffy, right? But it's very real. These are the words of Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu is a Navi. For a living, He gave Musar. That's what He did. And He got tortured for it, as He says. He says in these prakim that, like, you know, He says, you know, throughout here, that people don't want to listen to me, and I'm going to say it anyway, and only some people are going to listen, some people won't, and I'm going to be vindicated at the end of the day. At the end of the day, you're going to know what I'm saying is true. And, you know, lo nichlamti, right? No, v'adonai Elohim yazar li al kain, lo nichlamti. Hashem, God, is going to help me, and I'm not going to be ashamed. Al kain samti fanai v'kach alamish v'edel ki lo evosh. I'm not going to be embarrassed. I'm going to say what I need to say. No one's going to stop me, says Yeshayahu. Even though, and when you get to Yirmiyahu was actually physically tortured by the people he was giving Musar to. They didn't want to hear it, and you know that's how it goes. And of course, Yirmiyahu was the one who, you know, was he was very upset that he was vindicated. His vindication hurt because his vindication was the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Yeshayahu never actually gets, you know, Yeshayahu dies before the Churban Beis Hamikdash, actually well before the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So he was really talking well in advance. Yirmiyahu lived through it. I want to get to a point really at the end of the Haftarah. That's really like the theme, you know, trusting that that Hashem loves us, Hashem has not forgiven us, Hashem says, he asks at the beginning of Perek Nun, Ko Amar Hashem, Hashem says, Eize Sefer Krisus Imachem, Asher Shilachtia. Where's the Sefer Krisus? What's the Sefer Krisus?
Divorce.
A divorce document, the get. Where's the get? You guys are not coming back, right? I sent you out of the house. I told you to, you know, sleep in the doghouse for the night. And you're not coming back. Where's the get? Was there a get that we're, like, you know, officially divorced, says Hashem? I don't think so. Happens to be that there are the Nuvim that do mention a Sefer Krisus, and the question we have to discuss what that means. Maybe it's only the Aseret HaShvatim, the 10 Shvatim originally, you know, divorce. So that is a discussion. But Yeshayahu, from Yeshayahu's perspective, there's no Sefer Krisus. This is the beginning of Perek Nun. Or who's like the creditor that I sold you to? Did we do a sale? No backsies? There was no backsies? Right? What's going on? Was this final? You thought it was final? You thought when I exiled you from to Bavel, and then later in Edom to Bavel again, basically, and then in the Holocaust and in the Inquisition, you thought that was permanent? That was a final thing? I gave you the boot for good. I gave you the get. I sold you and couldn't pay back. Of course not. Then he says, "Ma'udua bossi ve'ain ish karasi ve'ain ona hakuzor." He says, "Well, Hashem says, why did I come if no one's calling out to me?" This is, I don't know if you've ever seen in the Gemara, it's mentioned several places in Shas, the Asara Batlanin. Anybody learn like Megillah or in Brachos? There are Asara Batlanin. They used to have a system where they would have 10 people who would always be at every minyan. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you struggled to get a minyan. So when that happens, the Gemara speaks very negatively about that. It quotes this pasuk, and basically Hashem says, when there's supposed to be a minyan there, it says on the schedule, minyan, 8 o'clock, 6:30, 6:20, Monday, Thursday. It says there's a minyan supposed to be scheduled there, and then people don't show up. Hashem says, why did I bother coming in the first place? I schlepped out to this minyan, and there's no one saying Kaddish, there's no Kedusha, there's no Baruch Hu. What is this? This is quoted from this pasuk here in Yeshayahu. Hashem says, why did I come? Why did I bother coming? Right. This also a plug to go to night activities. It's a plug to go to night activities. The whole team is there. They've been preparing for hours, setting up the tech, set up the campus artists, set up all the activities there. They're waiting there at the activity, and then someone doesn't show up, or everyone doesn't show up, and they say, "Madu Abasi, why did I come?" Lahavdil. But to understand the emotional piece, Hashem relates to us as if with emotions, with emotions that we can't understand, but just so we feel, right? Meaning, I think we'd probably make a better effort to show up to Minyan and on time if we knew that when Hashem gets them, there's no Minyan, he's upset. He says, why did I bother coming? So that's what Hashem says over here. He says, you're supposed to be coming, right? Karasi, I called out, ain't on end, no one's answering. And really, it's our achrayus to step up. Hashem says after Tisha B'Av, okay, you were sent away. It's not permanent. Don't take it personally. Turn things around. Step up. Show up. Be there. I want to finish with the point at the end, which was actually the name, the official name of the shir. So that's why we have to get to. Otherwise, I would stick more on this earlier part. But this is the name of the shir. Be one like Avraham. We have to do it. It's at the end, very end, the last few psukim of this haftarah. Perek Nun Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, says, Shimu Eli, Rod Feit Tzedek Mevak She Hashem. Listen to me, Rod Feit Tzedek Mevak She Hashem. What are Rod Feit Tzedek? What's a Rodef Tzedek?
Justice.
Someone chasing after justice, Rodef Tzedek, and Mevak She Hashem. This means Mevakesh. Mevakesh. Mevakasha. One who's seeking out Hashem. A seeker of Hashem, right? Mevakasha. Seeking out. So the road fate tzedek and the mevakshe Hashem should listen up. Habitu el tzur chutzavtem vel makeres bor nekartem. You know, try to look towards those whom you came from. So just, I think this point is important, that he's talking to the road fate tzedek and the mevakshe Hashem. Who do you think that is? Who are the ones who chase after justice and who seek out Hashem? All Klal Yisrael? Chareidim?
Bezdin?
What?
Is it justice like Bezdin?
Maybe.
Could
be.
Women.
So it's interesting that we call them the Rod Feit Tzedek and the Mevak She Hashem. Earlier in the Haftarah, he's talking about how some people don't listen to him. He actually calls out to the Rishayim at some point. He like calls to the Rishayim and tells them what's going to happen to them. Why do you think why do you think he talks to the Rishayim? Do you think they're going to listen to him? Sometimes you have to speak to a Rasha, not for the Rasha to hear, but for the people who are actually listening to hear. You know, for example, let's say, you know, Chas Shalom on our campus, some other camp, someone, you know, is doing something very bad, and other people are aware of it. Something that's against camp protocol, and they're not aware of it. And if you tell them, okay, listen, stop drinking on campus, right? Don't drink on campus. So the guys who are drinking on campus are probably not going to stop drinking on campus. Right? Like, he told me not to. Okay, he knows not to. But what's going to happen? It's like, okay, if we say we're going through all the bunkhouses and that kind of thing, that would happen. But it's important to make that announcement anyway. Because for the other people who are on the fence, okay, I'm going to stay away from it. And also, I see that they mean business. They're serious about it. And it's important to get that point across. So he's probably not talking to the tzaddikim. He's probably not talking to the Rishayim. Even when he sounds like he's talking to the Rishayim, he's probably talking about the Beinonim, the people who are in between. What?
Swing
voters. Right, swing states. So over here, we're talking to the Rodvei Hashem, the Mevakshei Hashem, the Rodvei Tzedek. The people who are chasing after it, who are Mevakshim. We're trying. It's hard for us. The tzaddikim, they're good. They already know what to do. They don't need Yeshayahu telling them. Yeshayahu is, you know, going out to the, he's in the clubs and he's in whatever, you know. He's a Ben Yehuda, crack square, whatever it is, giving his message. And the tzaddikim are already in the base. Okay. Now, the Rishayim are doing what they're going to do. They're not going to listen anyway. But the Mevakshei Hashem, the ones who are trying and want to hear and they want to hear the word of God and give me something, so they're actually listening in. And he says, Habitu el Avraham Avichem. It's cool. We don't always see the Avos mentioned so much after Chumash. We don't see them mentioned so much. Chumash, I mean, obviously throughout Sefer Bereishis, and then Moshe invokes their name sometimes. But we over here, Habitu el Avraham, and even more than that, Avichem ve'el Sarah Tcholal Lelechem. Seek out, take a look at Avram, your father, and to Sarah, who brought you into being. Where was the last time you saw Sarah's name mentioned? Right? We have Avram and Sarah. Ki echad karasiv, because I have called him one, varvarcheu varbehu, and I will bless him and I will increase him. So that's interesting, right? It says, Avram, look at Sarah, Avram and Sarah, because I have called him one and I have blessed him and I have increased him. I have called him one. I've called Avraham one. Kinicham Hashem Tzion, Nicham Kol Chorvaseha. Okay, so before we get to this last pasuk, so what does this mean? I have called Avraham one. What could that possibly mean? I have called Avraham one. Look at Avraham and Sarah, because I've called him one, and I blessed him and increased him. Pshat, what does it mean? I've called Avraham one. What do you think?
First Jew.
So the first. So really, Kurasi Rishon. Yeah. I call him the first. Calls him one, though. You have a shot? You're so also saying first. Or are you focusing on the word connect? First or connect?
More connect.
Yeah?
Two things. One, the fact that he addresses Abraham and Sarah and then switches to the singular, masculine singular. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I called Abraham and Sarah the unit. I've called him. That's saying whatever reason he uses the masculine term. But highlighting that. Also, we have other places in the Torah where, when it makes sense to say Echad, but Rashi points out that why doesn't it say Rishon? Rishon Sheni, like Yom Echad. It makes sense to say Yom Echad because there isn't a second day. Once there's only one day, there's only an Echad. There's no Rishon. There's only Rishon after the fact when you know there's a second day. But Rashi points out, tell you on that day Hashem was one. Maybe there's some sort of parallelism of saying Avram. So he is one.
Okay, so going back to Tani and half of Eliyahu. Yeah.
They're
Avram and Sarah. Okay, good. So we'll do a few pshat and try to understand what this means. First of all, one answer that's it's based on like a combination of Rashi or Dak and the Mitzudos, this idea that he was Echad at that time. Ki Echad Kurasiv. When, right? Not because he was one, but when he was one. What does it mean he was one? When was he one? So what? Before Sarah was there, could be, or it could be that he was alone, either emotionally or theologically, right? Theologically, because as you said, right, he was one who connected to God in a pagan society, a pagan world, not pagan society, pagan world, where basically just about everybody else on the planet was polytheistic. They believed in many gods, and not just many gods, but idols and all kinds of physical objects as being other gods. And when he was one, he was by himself, emotionally, theologically. He left his hometown on a divine mission of Lech Lecha. So at that point, Hashem called out to him in a manner of honor and blessed him and increased him. So at that point, meaning when Avram was one, when he said, he went against the stream. He went against what society was doing. Didn't care about what was popular, but care what was true and right. At that time, I kerasiv, I called him. I gave him honor. I proclaimed him as very special. And I blessed him. I increased him. And of course, this is a call for us. Even if it's not the popular thing to do. If it's the right thing to do, if it's the truth, you seek it out, you do it, you choose it. So that's one pshat. Another pshat I wanted to suggest, that's based on Rashi, Radak, and Matudos together. It's like a combination of theirs. Another answer I wanted to suggest is that it's called Echad in response to him calling Hashem Echad. As you guys both said, he was the first one to call Hashem Echad, because everybody else called whatever God was many gods. Right? There are many different gods. There's the god of fire, god of water, god of wind. There's gods of all these fun things. And he said, no, God is Echad. So Hashem says, aha, he calls me Echad. You know whom I call Echad? Avram. I'm Echad because Avram called me Echad. And everyone should know, Avram is unique. He is Echad. He is the one person on this planet that is fulfilling the world's purpose. And of course, this makes us think about the Gemara in several places, Brachos and Megillah and other places as well, where it talks about Hashem's tefillin. Right, in our tefillin it says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and of course in Hashem's tefillin it says Mi ka'amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz, where Hashem says we're Goy Echad, we're one Goy, no, we're one nation, right? We're one nation. We are this oneness, just like Hashem is. What Hashem is in existence, we are in this physical world. We are one. This one Echad. Hashem says, so it could be that he's saying, I'm calling Avram Echad because he called me Echad. It's another pshat. Of course, it's the idea is also following in those footsteps. We can also say that this hymn, Krasiv, is actually, as Tani and Ramendi pointed out, a unit. Right? It's that Krasiv, maybe he didn't say this. Maybe it's just Ramendi. That Ki Echad Krasiv, I have called him or it one. Meaning we mentioned two people. We had Avram and Sarah, and then we called it Echad. So maybe it's saying that Avram and Sarah are this unit, which would mean then that it was Echad, meaning when the couple was united as one, only then were they able to be blessed and increased. Right? We see over here, that's what he's saying in this pasuk, saying when I called them one, I blessed them and increased them. It's only when a man and you and woman can become one, right? Can they become be able to produce? Now, not only that, it's not only a physical point, but it's a spiritual point, right? If a man and woman unite physically, then they can increase, but only if they unite spiritually and emotionally can they really be blessed in that relationship. So what does it say? Avram and Sarah, ki echad krasiv, when I called it one, or when they were one, varvarchei varbehu, I was able to bless them and increase them, if they were able to fully, properly unite, which of course would be a mashal for our connection with Hashem as well, to fully unite body and soul with Hashem to really get that connection, just like Avram and Sarah had with each other, and for sure with Hashem. And one final pshat we'll suggest is that is based on the Radak. The Radak quotes various times throughout his Peirush on Nach. He quotes pshatim from his father. So the Radak says in the name of his father that the intention of the pasuk is that Avram was alone in the world, and when he and Sarah were at the point of giving up on having children, when they were at that point where they didn't think they would have any children, they were blessed and increased with a son. So I want to suggest that perhaps Echad is an allusion to the ultimate reproduction of Avram and Sarah. It's a remez. First of all, because it's called Echad, so it could be it's a reference to Klal Yisrael, who are called Goy Echad Varetz. So he says, Hashem says, like, I called upon it Echad, that's the remez to Avram and Sarah having children, because they're Goy Echad Varetz. Another pshat you could say is that Echad, it's the gematria of Echad. Aleph Ches Dalad. 13? Of course, 13 could allude to the either the 12, the really 13 Shvatim, right? The 12 Shvatim, but with Ephraim and Manasseh are split into 13, right? So 13, or the 12 Shvatim with Hashem also involving himself. So Echad could be an allusion that way. Could also be that it's Echad is Gematria. It's 13. It's also Ahava. It's also the third. There are how many letters in the names Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov? Good guess. How many letters in the name Sarif, the Rachelea? 13. So it could be it's an allusion to the Avos, meaning it's you thought it's going to end with Avram and Sarah. Avram, you and Sarah thought you were the end. No. Echad, they were called Echad. They're each one. From Avram, there's going to be Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov. From Sarah, there's Sarah, Karach, Aleah. There's going to be Goy, Echad, Ba'aretz. There's a Klal, Yisrael, 12 Shvatim, and 13 Shvatim, Hashem. So there are many different allusions you could say that this Echad is. But ultimately, the pasuk ends, Kinich, or Haftar ends, Kinicham Hashem, Tzion, Nicham, Kol, Karvasev, V'yasim, Idbara, Ke'eden, V'arvasa, Kigan Hashem. That Hashem is going to bring Nechama. And Sason v'simcha yimatzeba, Toda v'kol zimra. It's a simple liner song. Sason v'simcha yimatzeba. It's also we say it at the end of Kinos, at night and in the day. Sason v'simcha yimatzeba, Toda v'kol zimra. That there's going to be this point, right? We think that it's like Avram and Sarah. At the end of the line, no hope. This is it. We tried for so long. We're not having children. It's it. It's over. And Hashem says, no. I increase them. I bless them. Goy echad ba'aretz is this amazing nechama that comes about. Ritz Hashem, we should be zochet to that as well, that we should be able to, you know, we look around at the situation and it looks very scary. I gave a related shiur last year. It looks, despite being in the heat of COVID last year, it looks even more intense this year, what's going on in America, throughout the world, all the challenges that they're experiencing. And it looks like there is no hope and it looks like it's the end of the line, l'ra, but to have faith that Ritz Hashem, we turn things around, the ball's in our court. If we're able to turn it around, then we'll be able to say, Sosim is simply what say about Toda the Kozimra.